He introduced us both, so if you want to come up.
Yeah, I don't have a green light yet.
There you go.
Okay. Green means go.
Yeah.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
I don't usually have to tell her that.
Yeah, usually I'm pretty fired up, but I'm just kind of in a. I've enjoyed. We've already had church. I mean, the word that has already come forth today. You could go to 100 churches in this area and not heard the amount of word that we've already heard so far today. The truth that has already been brought forth today. You could search. I'm telling you. You could search many, many churches and not hear the good word, the good news that has already been brought forth here today. It is a shame. It is a shame that there's not more to hear. But you know what? You've got to hear it first. You've got to hear it first. You've got to receive it first. So that if you'll hear it, then you're going to say what you heard. If you hear it and believe it and receive it, you're going to say what you heard. And you're going to tell about what you heard. And other lives are going to be changed. That's how these seats will be filled. That's how God's church will be filled. Amen? It is good to see. I've heard a little bit about you, but it's good to have you with us today. What is your names? Eric and Elizabeth. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I am so glad that you're here at New Life Church. You're a blessing. I know that you are a blessing to the church. Bless you. Anything else?
You said you didn't have anything to say.
Oh, well, get me going. You give me a green light. I'm ready to go.
I'm going to back up what she said. You really don't understand how good a church you got.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
I have several feelings within inside of me, but one of them I need to speak to right now, and that's that this church is outstanding.
Yes.
I don't care what anybody says.
Yes.
And I know the devil's trying to tell you that it's not. But as I was talking to Karen the last day, and what I see this morning, you don't need to hang your head down at all.
That's right.
The presentation of the praise and worship this morning was class. The word that came forth was class. There's no better place. And we've been other places, and there's no better place. It's very disappointing, as she was saying, of what the church, now not this church, but what the church is right now. It's broken down, run down,
yes.
Weak. And the devil is trying his best, even not just an atmosphere, but an attack, special attacks, to discourage, to take away your boldness and your courage and your belief. You need to understand that so you'll know how to fight.
Amen.
When attacks come, that's an invitation for victory.
Yes.
Since we, Patrick, could you put up Isaiah 53:5? Since you know this word, there's no attack that can succeed. Now, I want to teach to you this morning a little bit. One of the questions that I heard standing there a while ago was, do you know who God is? You know, I know who Bob is. I know who Harry is. Do you know who God is? Then the second part is, do you know what he is? Do you know who Jesus is? And do you know what he is? In our society today, we like to meet people and have a little fun once in a while, maybe call them friends, and it's better not to know them too well. Isn't that kind of our attitude? Let's don't get too close. They might find out something about us, or we might find out something about them that would let us down a little bit. So we take that into our relationship with God, with Jesus. A little word that I saw in the song a while ago, you're my strength when I am weak. Bullhorn. That's baloney. He's my strength all the time.
Amen.
If I don't have any right to be weak. If he's my strength,
that's right.
I don't have any right to be discouraged.
Right.
To be and understand who I'm talking about, the discourager.
Yes.
You know, Jesus one time said to one of his best friends, Peter, get behind me, Satan. And this was grace from Jesus to Peter. It may not sound real compassionate, but it was. Because he was calling Jesus a liar. Jesus had a right to say, and you're gone. But instead, he reminded Peter that you are saying the words of Satan. Peter didn't know that. He was lifted up, changed by that word. We're going to have to judge ourselves. The mirror that you're talking about is for judging ourselves.
Yes, absolutely.
Show me how I look. When we don't look in the Word, we kind of get the big head.
Oh, yes.
Or the dumb head, whatever you want to say. Do you know who Jesus is? Look, I want to remind you what I have to remind myself every day, what you need to remind yourself every day. You cannot pray for healing. You have no right to pray for healing. It's done. Why would you ask for something that you already have?
Yes.
That's just not real bright on your part. You are, when you pray, you may be praying for a better feeling. You may be praying for a manifestation. You may be praying for a testimony or a witness. But you cannot pray for what He's already done. And I'll take it further than that. I ask you who Jesus is. There He is. There He is, right there. This is who He is. And when you don't accept who He is, you don't accept Him. And you can praise and raise your hands and yell and shout and all you want to. But if you don't believe this is done, you don't believe He exists, that He's real. I told you I'm going to teach this morning. Sometimes that's the ruler slapping knuckles. I hope not, but let's receive it as truth. Once again, as I was talking to Karen the other day, I am not perceived as a very compassionate man. And that's baloney. Mm-hmm. But when I see Jesus, when He walked into the temple and He threw tables around and He called them snakes and vipers, He was compassionate.
Yes.
That's who He is.
Yes.
He's an instructor. He's a compassionate instructor. Don't call Him anything else.
Amen.
When He looked at Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan," He was a compassionate instructor. He loved them so much that He gave His life for them. And He was giving His life for them. They weren't worthy of such truth. You know, we're not worthy of the truth you said this morning. So are we to turn against you and say, "That's just too rough? You didn't make me feel good. So should I just not listen to you?" Our religious beliefs have turned to feelings and not beliefs. I don't feel healed. Well, your feeling's a liar.
Yes, that's right.
By the leading of the Holy Spirit. We were in Cozumel a while back, and I had a pain. And so I found out there was a chiropractor on the island. Now, I don't normally do that. That's just unusual. But I did, and he was the weirdest chiropractor I'd ever met in my life. He'd look and observe and touch once in a while and stand back. Stand up, sit down. Stand up, sit down. Okay. He said, "Now we're going to bring that pain back." I said, "No, we're not. No, we're not. I'm not here to bring it back. It's not going to happen." And he said, "You have a very unusual relationship with your body." Good morning. He said, "You have a very unusual relationship with your body." I said, "I don't know what you mean, but if you mean that it does what I tell it to do, you're right." And I've thought about that statement since then. Your body does what you tell it to do. And the only time it doesn't is when you don't believe what you say. You don't believe you have dominion, even though your precious Bible says so. Have we ever checked our belief systems? What do we really believe? Do I believe by looking into the Word I can see myself, the faults, the failures, the things that need to be corrected, the more than that, the positive things? Do I really believe that? Do I believe that is the truth? Do I believe it above feelings? I wanted to, you got to come back up. Something happened to me. You tell it. Now, this is a testimony.
Well, on Black Friday, I'll start there because that's the day after Thanksgiving. We were getting ready to go with Desiree and go shopping. You know, everybody goes shopping on Black Friday to try to get some super deals. So we were getting dressed, and I always lay out Stan's clothes, what he's going to wear, and so he pretty much doesn't even have to ask. It's laid out there, and we're carrying on a conversation, and we're talking about what's going to happen or where we're going to go, that kind of stuff. And I began to hear something different, a little bit different about Stan. I knew he wasn't feeling real good, but it's the day after Thanksgiving, and so you have stuffed, you know, that day before you have just stuffed yourself. So anyway, I began to hear something in his voice that wasn't right. And so I walked into the bedroom I don't know if I was checking on him, but it's kind of like I was walking to see how he was progressing, because I was in the hair drying process of my getting ready, and he should have been further along. And so I walked into the bedroom, and he was sitting on the edge of the bed. He wasn't dressing like his normal. He has a procedure. He was out of procedure for one thing. He had his blue jeans on, and he had one boot on, and he had the other boot halfway on. I walked over to him, I can't explain to you. I can't even imitate. I can't show you what I saw, other than I saw weakness in his eyes, and he was beginning to have a stroke. And I walked over to him, and he looked up at me, and he's like, he couldn't speak. And it was every symptom of a stroke. And later on, I'll share with you a little bit more about how I know it was symptoms of a stroke. And so I wasn't fearful, other than I just, walked over to him, and just, it made me angry. And I said, no. And, I remember quoting scripture, and I couldn't even get some of the scripture out, but God knew what I was trying to say. And I wasn't fearful, like, oh no, this is a stroke, call 911. This was, no, devil, you take your hands off of God's property. And I began to pray for him, and I began to lay hands on him, because I knew that God was going to touch him. All right, well, let's go ahead and continue getting ready, because God's touched you, and let's move on. And so I could tell he was getting around a little bit slower still than normal, but he was healed. He was healed because what we had already prayed, because what I had already prayed. He was not in a position. I know that most of you here that know Stan, you've never seen him, and I have never seen Stan in that weakened looking state. I don't know if he even knew what was going on at the time. Anyway, so we continued to get dressed and go on to Desiree's, and I want to speed this up, but we got to Desiree's house, and he's very quiet. And he wasn't saying much, but I could tell that there was still a thick tongue, sort of. Anybody that's been in the medical field or seen anybody with stroke, you probably know some kind of signs. And so we went on, and Desiree, later on, we went into a store, and it was really strange. It was a very, very strange day. But we went into this store, and I don't know if I can even mimic this, but I'll try to. But Stan gets a... In Target, they have couches or something on display there for you to look at to buy. Well, Stan sits down on this couch, and he's just kind of leaning back like this, and he's just as comfortable as he could be. He was at peace. He wasn't fearful.
That's right.
He wasn't the least bit fearful. He wasn't, things are still not right, I think we better do something different. He wasn't the least bit fearful. He was at peace.
Yes.
I was at peace. You hesitate in saying something to your, especially to your daughter. I wasn't going to tell Desiree what had happened, because you hesitate in saying something because they're like, oh, you better take Dad. Well, so I think for some reason Stan stayed in the store, and Desiree and I walked out of the store, and Desiree's like, what's wrong with Dad? And so I shared with her a little bit about what happened that morning, and she said, he's not going to go to the doctor, is he? I said, no, Desiree, he's not going to go to the doctor. We believe God. We trusted God. That's where our faith is. That's where our faith is. That's where our faith is. And so immediately she gets on the, I could see that she got on the phone texting her brother to pray. And so we were about our day that day, and he's still not running. I could see that he was still at peace, but he still wasn't running full throttle on all eight cylinders or something, however the engines might be. We have never shopped in this mall in our lives, up and away from Corpus. We have never shopped in this mall. We found out that the pastor of the church down there was down there, and he had never shopped in that mall. Never, ever had he shopped in that mall. Well, Desiree walked over. I found out, I think Stan said, you won't believe who's here. I said, well, who's here? Who do we know that's in Victoria at this mall? He said, Doyle's here. I go, really? So I thought in my mind, I thought, well, if Doyle is supposed to, because I'd already prayed and believed. I thought, well, if Doyle's supposed to, we're supposed to make connections with Doyle, then it'll come about and he'll be there and he'll pray. Well, anyway, speed this up. Desiree found out where he was. She walked into the store, and she goes, Doyle, and she then I saw her in the store break down. She hadn't broke down in front of me. But she is not, she's not where we are. She's getting there. But she's not where we are in our belief, in our faith, in our trust, in our peace. Peace. Peace that passes all understanding. And it's not just what you read in the Bible. We have a peace in our heart about our God that he touched him.
Amen.
And so he came out of the store, and so right in the big middle of the mall, and we're gathered around, and we're going to continue to pray and believe. He's agreeing with what we've already prayed. That was his prayer. He agreed with what we had already prayed, and so he went on about his business, and we continued. We're getting thirsty. It's time to leave, so we're going to pick up a drink, and we're sitting down there at a table, and Stan goes, I'm feeling a lot better. Now, I will say this, continued that for about a week, there was some things that happened, and I don't even know, I'm not even going to try to describe to you. There were things in that week that happened that were still not supposed to happen. But praise God, he touched him, he healed him, he set him free. That's right, that's right. Those words are true. Those words, God's word is true. God, that same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever is true for every one of us in here. Anyway, God touched him, and I thank God. And I thank God for Stan, because he's been standing for a lot of other things that have been attacking his body, but he's been standing against this too. And we have. And I'm here to tell you today, God's word works. God is faithful. He's not the God of yesterday. The miracles that happened yesterday are happening today. They're happening right now. Right now for every one of us. He is true. He is real. He is alive. If that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will give life to your mortal bodies. I believe that. You know what? I got to tell you, though, one day I am going to, or he might be looking at me, but one day there's going to be an end to his life. There's going to be an end to my life. But you know what? I can honestly say, and he can do this to me too. You can put on my tombstone, we trusted God.
Amen.
We believed God. We had faith in God. No doubt. No unbelief. There's no room for that. There is no room for any doubt or any unbelief. From the things that I saw, trust me, the devil was working on me. Because the devil said, you know, if you don't get this taken care of, your kids are not going to let you live this down if you don't take him to the doctor. Uh-uh. No. No. Because I believe, I trust God. What's the scripture that says? I am persuaded that he, Jesus, is able to keep that, which I have committed. I committed him. I committed his healing. I committed his future. I committed the plan that God has for his life. I committed it to him that day and every day, past this day. Not just today, but every day. Do you believe that today? I bet you he didn't really have a stroke, because he doesn't look like he had a stroke. He's walking here fine. He's talking here fine. It doesn't matter what you believe. I saw what I saw. And, you know, I will say this to you. And you mentioned about a chiropractor, but we don't go to medical doctors at all. But I felt like that God had told me to give him a couple of things. No, it was just one thing. But I think it, and that is, because, you know, we don't eat really good. I'm not a cook, and I probably don't fix well-balanced meals. But God said he needs more potassium. And potassium is a vitamin. It's not something prescribed by man. It's something that I felt like maybe lacking in his diet. And so I, okay, God, well, that's going to be part of his diet is he's going to have potassium in a vitamin and in the form of bananas and what have you. You know, God, if we have the mind of Christ,
amen.
If we have that mind of Christ, God will speak to you. And if you have ears to hear and listen, then act on that. I could have said, oh, no, we don't need that. No, God said it. So every day he gets some form of potassium. And I found out that was one of the things that they were dumping into Bill was potassium.
Yep.
I cannot tell you. As much as I use my phone for Googling, I didn't Google. Let's see. Let's find out what Google says about helping out with circulatory or I can't even describe to you. Medically, I probably sound like an idiot from someone that knows medical. But God said he needs more potassium. So that's what he's getting. Jesus himself, whatever the man that needed healing, what did he do? He reached down and grabbed some mud and dirt and he spit in it. He spit in the mud and then he wiped it on the man's eyes. And what happened?
Got healed.
In this day and time, we'd be like, what? You went to the doctor and he did what? We shouldn't be that way. If God tells you to do something, you should do it. You have two ears. That's why he put two ears there. Not so that they would hold your glasses up. Or not so that you could adorn them. So that you could hear. So that you can hear. Sometimes we don't hear here, but we hear right here. I can't say I heard this voice from God says, you need to give him potassium. I didn't hear that. But I did hear from God because I don't know. I can't tell you what potassium does. Other than on that potassium bottle, it does say something about increased circulation or something like that. And what was strange, I even heard that in the pastor's prayer that day, that the circulation would be increased. Anyway, I want you to know and want you to hear today, that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, if he dwells in you, if he lives in you, he will give life to your mortal body. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Believe Jesus. Believe him. No matter what it is. No matter if it looks like the end. I can't tell you on the face, whenever I saw his face, it had me so messed up whenever I was trying to quote a scripture, I was messing up on the scripture, but God knew what I was trying to say. He hears and answers our prayers. He hears our prayers before we even speak them. Was that more than what I was supposed to say?
No. Now, if you're not going through any battles, there's probably no future for you. If there's not some fight, if there's not some attacks, then the devil's not worried about you being around.
That's right.
Now, I'm not saying we should wish for them, but I'm going to tell you, and it may be just started today, we may continue, but I felt like the Lord told me about weeks before we ever got up here that I needed to talk to you about your salvation. And not in a way like an evangelist would, but I started a while ago and I want to know who Jesus is. From a child, I heard about Jesus and then I met him. That's what Job said. Job said, I heard about you all my life, but now I know you. I am very concerned that we call ourselves Christ-like and we get upset. We get worried. We get afraid. It's not like Christ. We get angry. We blow our tops. We say things that hurt other people. And then we go to judging what people say by how our feelings are instead of judging to be true or not. If I walk in here and my zipper's down, please tell me my zipper's down. I'm not going to like you for it. I'm not even going to like the news, but I'll appreciate it. You understand? Kind of a crude example, but let's not judge people by what they tell us. It might be real. It might be something we need to hear. The greatest way to honor our act and our salvation is to never lose your peace.
Amen.
If you are convinced that this is true, nothing in the world can upset you. If you read that carefully. Basically what that says is God knew all about what you were going to screw up and how you were going to screw it up and paid for it anyway. And then on top of that, he took stripes that you're healed. Right? And he did all that because he loved you. And he knew about you. See right up there? He said you have transgressions and you have iniquities. He knew about you. That's your name right there. and he still paid for it.
That's right.
Still loved you. Now, who is Jesus? You know, I'm from South Texas. And I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a lot of Jesuses running around. Jesus. And if you want to hear it a lot, go to a church. So we get kind of immune, or maybe we do the opposite. We put too much reverence in the name. The name of Jesus is not, when the Bible refers to, and we sang about it this morning, we're not talking about his name. We're talking about who he is, what he is. Who he is and what he is. Who is he? By the way, what did God say you call Jesus? You call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Is everybody sure that God is with you? All the time? Or just in here? And we can act different when we go home. We love to use the name of Jesus when we need it. And yet, he's someone that is supposed to be with us all the time.
Yes.
It's amazing how holy and righteous we get when we're in trouble.
Yes.
It's amazing. We just get, oh, man, we get up. Scripture comes rolling out our mouth when somebody squeezes us. But when you get a trouble, when there's a trouble, just like what she just testified about, and nobody's upset. Bob, is there anything worse than a stroke? Physically, there's nothing worse than a stroke. And I stand amazed that I was at peace and she was at peace. You know why? Because of what you believe. See, I don't know how to say this to you, but if you believe this, you can't get upset. It doesn't even cross your mind to get upset. In fact, you might laugh at an affliction. You might laugh at how foolish the devil is by thinking he can do this to you. You laugh at him. He's crazy because of what I believe. It's not just what, it's who I believe.
Yes, that's right.
Jesus was called Emmanuel. And then we were introduced to salvation. And that's what he is. That's who he is. His name is Sozo. That means one that saves. Scripture. John 3:17. Everybody knows who God is? How about we go to John 3:17? And don't forget that one. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn, but, what does it say?
The world through him might be saved.
The world can be saved through him. By the way, is there plan B? So we have to, if you're going to be saved, it can only be through him.
Right.
Not through your works. Not through how good you are. Not through how good you speak. But through him. He knew that. God knew that. We need to know it. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his, look at this, his people from their sins. While ago it was the world. Now it's his people. Are you telling me his people might sin? I'm not telling you nothing. I'm telling you one of the definitions of sin is to miss the mark. Anybody miss the mark? Have you ever missed the mark? And he said what? For he will save his people from their sins. Two meanings of save his people. One through salvation. One through he will teach them not to sin. Now, his name is Sozo. I want to read a couple of definitions. When you look up the word saved or salvation, I did this the other day and it kind of amazed me. I wrote down, I don't even know if it's in here or not, it's not. Do you know how many different things you can call a car? I didn't know. I bet you I wrote down 40 things and never repeat. All meaning car, automobile, ride, four-door, two-door, convertible. Just start thinking about all the things we call. It all means one thing. It's a car. Now, do you know how specific we get when we use the word saved? And yet there are so many different meanings of saved. And I want to teach you a couple of them. Sozo is a primary one, primarily used in the Bible. It means to save or to be safe. If you really want the understanding of salvation, always use the word safe. You want to know if I'm a Christian or not? Is somebody safe around me? You know what? When unbeknownst to me, I began to have a stroke, she saved me. You understand? I'm safe around her. She reached out and quoted word and said, we will not tolerate this in Jesus' name. Is anybody safe around you? Because if they're not safe around you, you are not like Christ. A person in trouble needs to know who they can run to. Are you one that can be run to? Are you the one that everybody's running trying to save you? Dunamehi is another word for saved. It means to be able. I'll stop there. To be able. Are you able? Have you been so saved that you're now able? To what? To save. Is Christ able to save? Are you like Christ? Are you able to save? Are you able to provide safety for others? Maybe when you don't even like them. God is funny. You know, this pastor, she said, that showed up out of the blue in a place that wasn't supposed to be. I don't like him. He sucks pickles. He's dumber than a post. And yet God provided him at the right place at the right time. Amen. To what? Possibly humble me a bit. I don't know what all the repercussions are. I don't like him. Let's be careful about our judgment. That's all what I need to say there. Amen. Another word for saved or salvation is sotero, sotera. It means to be able to rescue. I got to give this example. When we were, and I probably have, and I'll do it again. It's good for me. Right here in Denver, when we were taking our search rescue diving course, one of the examples was that we had to go save somebody that was drowning. So, naturally, as an actor, he's out there thrashing, and the most dangerous part about, and this is true spiritually, about trying to save somebody is they'll take you under. And so we're practicing saving somebody without being taken under. Okay, my wife, it's her turn. She goes out to save this guy, and he just gives her trouble. I mean, he makes her swim in circles. You can't get too close until you're ready. And I mean, she's getting worn out trying to save the guy. She finally did, drug him in the shore. Okay, now I'm mad at him. He gave my wife trouble. So it's my turn. And I go out sweating in this pond, and he's just going like crazy, trying to get his hands on me. And when he looked at me, I kicked him in the stomach. And he just went, ugh! I did. I kicked him hard. And I went right around him and grabbed him by the neck where he couldn't hardly breathe, and I drug him to shore. And he said, man, you're kind of rough. And I said, you gave my wife trouble. I'll teach you somebody to give you trouble. Now, think about this spiritually. Think about it from her perspective, that she nearly got worn out trying to save a guy. The other part of this is, think about me spiritually. That's what I did. I did what it took. I did exactly what it took to save him. Yeah. Now, he didn't like it, but he got saved. Amen. I kicked him in the stomach. Where in the world is our ministry that kicks you in the stomach? That just takes the breath out of you to save your life? Who are the people that do that? Now, I was pastor when I was here, and I don't know how many people I kicked in the stomach, but I'm changed. I've changed now. I will kick you. I will. That's one of the things I've noticed about me. I don't care about, if we're going to talk truth, I'm not going to be shy with the truth. Please don't be afraid of knocking the wind out of somebody if they need it. Just do it. Do it because you love the Lord.
Yes.
Now, the other part of, I have a hard time with these words, soteria is soter, which is the person that rescues. So now we know that Jesus' name is soter. That's who he is. You can shake his name, you can shake his hand. Just like I could, Bob, and say, hi, I know who you are, you're Bob, but I know who you really are. And then, as this says, it describes who he really is. Jesus is not Jesus, he's the one that rescues. So when you speak to him, when you relate to him, when you're communing with him, you know he's there to rescue you. Well, I didn't know I was in trouble. Oh, you're in trouble. The proof is you didn't know. Another way to say this is, he shows up to rescue you before you know you need rescuing. Part of, you like me, are you saved? Anybody in here saved? Do you understand that Jesus is coming to the rescue when you don't know you're in trouble? He sends people, places, things your way. That's why you need to understand that when there's a challenge or a trouble, there's a victory. Yes. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there's any problem in your life that you can't overcome? You can be quicker to answer than that. It's okay. You need to know these things. No, there's nothing that can whip me. Nothing. Well, what about our economy? That's another sermon. Another word for salvation is diazdo. It means to save thoroughly, to cure, to preserve. So he is one that is actively preserving you. Anybody know what that means? How do you preserve? Let me say it another way. Do you know you can be preserved when you didn't know you needed preserving? Jesus is actively operating on your behalf to preserve you. And it may be through a trial. You know why, sitting in the face of a stroke, I was at peace? Do you know why the last time I was here I said I had a heart attack and I was at peace? Do you remember that description to you? It blew me away. Why? Why is that? Because I had other battles, a lot of other battles. Well, Stan, have you ever had a doctor? Yeah. I've told you I spent 10 days in the hospital being burned to a crisp. I was burned to a crisp. And it taught me something. Do you understand how valuable my burn is to me? Do you understand that when a doctor looks you in the face and says, you're going to be so swollen in the morning, we'll have to do a tracheotomy. You can't breathe through your mouth. And you may not live. And your nose is burned off and your ears are burned off. And we're going to have to just stabilize you for the first 6 weeks. Then you go home and stabilize some more. And then you come back and start surgery. And you go, no. Who are you saying no to? This is the doctor. I'm sorry. Doctor wrong. Come on. Do you understand how that battle helped me? And by the way, I don't have a false nose or false ears. I'm not scarred. And they were wrong. Amen. They had every right to be right except Jesus.
That's right.
Yes.
You've got to go through some battles before you know you can win them all.
That's right.
I wish the words were easier. Okay, there's another one is phulasso. Phulasso. That describes Jesus as the one that isolates you to watch you, to watch over you. Sometimes, when you really feel alone, you are alone. But Jesus put you there. He, in other words, since I have ag in my background, I will say that you have an animal that doesn't feel good. You isolate them and you care for them. You watch them. For what reason? Well, you don't want the others to get sick. Baloney! You want that one to get well. Now, Jesus is the one that watches you, guards you, isolates you to preserve you. And this is a cool one. Another one, or an offshoot of that one, or the root of that one, is phule, which is a race or a clan. A race. Do you understand if I'm of this race, the race of Jesus, that all of these others apply? He is actively doing that without my permission, without my direction, without my understanding. He's caring for me because I'm of his clan.
Yes.
I like this. Mm. And then another root word of that same one is tereo, which is a guard, or to guard, to keep an eye upon. Do you realize that Jesus is keeping an eye on you? If this doesn't impress you, you are dead.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You need to get saved if this does not impress you. One of his names is one that watches you, keeps an eye on you. You know, when my kids were little, when we went shopping, your fear is that they'll get lost. They don't fear it. You fear it.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you keep them from getting lost? Well, I can beat them. I can put a leash on them. I can watch them, and that's, you don't ever let your kids know that you're watching them. Spoils them rotten. So what I did is I hid. I would catch them out while they were playing, and then I would hide. And you'd watch them. All of a sudden, they were isolated. And now they become afraid. And now they're learning what not having your eye upon your father means.
Yeah.
Even though I'm the one that was watching them. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus is watching us, even though we're really supposed to be watching him. And sometimes he has to kind of do something to get our attention. My kids still know to this day, let me have your hand, that when I held their hand, you see this? I did this. I always kept my little finger right there in those tendons. And when they got to acting up, all you do is just press on them. You don't say a thing, you just press. I'm so glad that if I'm holding the hand of Jesus, he's pressing my tendons. He's pressing the... We have a problem. It's called feelings. Now, I know some preachers that teach feelings are good. Well, I guess it's good to be able to feel. Just don't respond to them. You think about it. You respond to what the Word says. Matthew 8:25, Patrick. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Does that sound like one of our prayers? Mm-hmm. Lord, save us, we perish. Was he in the same place? Mm-hmm. Was he going to perish? Mm-mm. Then I don't have any right to.
That's right.
Did you get my point just then? If I'm in Christ Jesus, he has to perish before I do. I just better make sure I'm where I'm supposed to be.
That's right.
He is where he's supposed to be.
Yes.
Our judgment says we perish. Our word says we don't.
Right.
Which do I believe? Which do I believe? This is where it boils down to a point right here. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I hear. I know the word.
Yes.
Am I a theologian? No. I don't need to know all the word. I just know what's important. I'm convinced. I'm convinced. God has spent my life convincing me. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I am not no shining star in faith. Jesus has spent his life, my life, convincing me that he can be trusted. You understand that? How do you do that? Through trials, where I have to believe him. You know the best place in the world to be? It's where the only way I can live is by the word. Whether it's your finances, whether it's your physical health, I don't care. The best place in the world to be is know there's no way out. And then you'll find the way out. Who do you think arranged this no way out?
Mm-hmm.
So that you'd figure out there's a way out.
Yes.
Trust him.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to say that Jesus does bad things to teach me good things, but he might. When you heard me say I hid from my own children, you thought that was a bad thing. Oh, that's not what I'd do. Well, maybe you're wrong. Maybe I was wrong. Doesn't make a difference. I got good kids. You'll meet one of them Wednesday, and you'll see what this church has taught her. And this church has been a trial to her. Now, I'm not going into great detail there. I mean, by the privilege that they've given me already, she'll be leading praise and worship Wednesday night.
Amen.
They're flying into town to, I guess because we're here, I don't know. Matthew 9:21. For she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. Now, I can preach an hour on this. It's not necessary. Her mind was made up.
Yes.
That if I did it this way, this is going to happen.
Right.
I'm not against that. She got made well. I don't care. It wasn't wrong. You decide it's without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Right.
Please understand this very simple scripture. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let me say it another way. You're going to go to hell if you don't have faith. How do you have faith? How do you know you have faith? When there's a trial. Who needs faith when there's no trial? I do, but it takes a while to figure that out. I have faith that there's no trial that's going to come upon me that I can't handle. Because the Bible says that. So when there's a trial, it's really not a trial. Because I'll say it this way then. God has no trials in his pockets, but he uses the devil to work for him.
Yes, that's right.
God uses the devil to work for him. He said, I will, what does it say?
For bad. God will turn for good.
Y'all hear that?
That's right.
What was meant for bad. Do you think the devil means bad for you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. God's going to turn it to good. So who's working for who? The Bible says, unless you become as a little child, you'll never enjoy the things of the kingdom. So don't try to get too smart. Just get simple. Just be so dumb that you say the devil's working for God. Matthew 9:22. But Jesus turned about him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good cheer, be of comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Oh. Your faith has made you whole. Well, I thought Jesus did that. He did. Isaiah 53:5. That was before the cross. At the cross, Isaiah, he performed Isaiah 53:5. Now, You know how I get healed? The healer is Isaiah 53:5, is Jesus. He completed the work. He also paid the bill. Isaiah 53:5 is where love and grace and mercy was applied, not the cross. Y'all understand that? He loved you so much, he didn't want you to suffer. So he took the beating. He took the stripes. Let me say it another way. For you to be saved, he had to pay a price. That was death on the cross. That was the legal requirement. Okay? There was no love involved there. That was the legal requirement. God the Father initiated that. He gave his son so that you can be saved. The legal price had to be paid, the cross. Jesus gave himself before the cross, at the flogging. So God the Father and Jesus the Son both loved you so much. One for the legal, because God's the law, it had to be fulfilled. And love, grace, and mercy, taking the beating, the stripes. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That's just amazing. Never get over that. Never get over that. Matthew 10:22. Your faith is what's going to heal you, is going to save you. If you want to go to heaven, you'll do it by your faith. You won't do it by what Jesus has done. You'll do it by what you'll do. In other words, what you believe in what Jesus did. Did that come out all right? Not confusing? All right, the next one. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved.
Yes. Yes.
How many have been saved once? Well, I've been saved at least twice today. I don't want to get saved once. I want to get saved all the time. Because I want to be one of those that endures to the end.
Yes.
Jesus, above all things, wants me to be one that endures to the end. Too many Christians believe, 20, 40, 60 years ago, I got saved. Oh, it's okay. Well, what have you endured? Tell me something you've endured, because if you're not enduring anything, you're not making it to the end, and you're not saved. Stan, that's not a very rosy picture. I'm sorry, I didn't write this book. I didn't write it. Let me say it another way. If the devil is not bugging you, you're not worth nothing. Let me say it another way. If the devil is not telling you how bad you are, you're bad. He doesn't work on people he's not afraid of. He works on people he's afraid of that are doing him damage. Well, what are you saying? You want to get worked on? No. But I am saying that I want to do him damage. Let me say it another way. I want to exalt my Lord. And I can't do it by having everything easy. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Well, what are you testifying about? Overcoming.
Yes.
Well, what are you overcoming? The latest trial. Do you understand how good God is when you're overcoming? Are you hated of men? Number one enemy to the kingdom of God is you trying to be accepted. Not insulting anybody. Not causing anybody some discomfort. You say you like Christ? Who liked him? He was so well liked they killed him. I want sinners to say of me, let's get out of here. Here he comes again. All right, run. You'll get caught. I'm not the one chasing. The Holy Spirit is.
Right.
If you want to run from me, if you're calling me the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you I'm not, but thank you. I'll say it another way. Your job on this earth is to make people uncomfortable. Can we say that as a nicer way of you'll be hated by all men name for my name's sake? Is your job here on this earth is to make people uncomfortable. Well, when does that stop? Never. Never. To the best person in this room, I hope I make you uncomfortable. I don't have to point out sin. God chastises those that he loves. Are you loved of God? Then you're going to have to get whipped. You need a chastisement. Well, what? I don't know. I don't know what that is. I don't even know what I need to be chastised for until it comes up. The greatest gift, two greatest gifts that God gives, of course, three, salvation, and then chastisement, and then repentance. You can take them in any order you want. I'm going to tell you right now that one of the greatest gifts in the world is repentance. Be able to repent to a God that you sinned against. And He recommends it.
Yes.
The opportunity to say, I was wrong. And the hardest thing in the world is for you to say you're wrong. Right? And yet it's the greatest opportunity for the love of God to enter into your life.
Yes.
Well, what am I wrong about? Oh, that's the Holy Spirit's job, not mine. I got a list, though, if you want. We'll just take you and I'll make a list. And I'll be all wrong. None of them will be important. Only what the Holy Spirit says is important. Your job is to recognize wrongdoing and say, I was wrong.
Yes. Yes.
Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Baptized. You mean water is that important? Oh, I don't know. Evidently the scripture says yes. But maybe he's really talking into you being baptized into him. Is the important thing. You being washed, going under, and coming out like him.
Yes.
But he that believeth not, what does that say? King James says you'll be damned. If you don't believe, believe what? Anything God wants you to believe. The whole word of God to be true. You're going to be damned. You know, I'm getting violent in a couple areas. One of them is Christians that don't believe. Which is an oxymoron. You all remember what an oxymoron is? Totally opposites. You cannot be a Christian and not believe. You cannot be a quiet Christian and believe. You want to share. You want to tell who God is, what He'll do for you. Because you believe it. You know, I don't believe you have hepatitis C. You will not convince me of that. Amen. Amen. I didn't say the attack didn't come. And I didn't say there weren't feelings and symptoms. I didn't say that. What you're looking for is the manifestation of what you already believe. So what we're really looking for is manifestation of the truth. And we're not going to get that unless we believe the truth. And we're not really believing it unless we can say no to what? To whatever goes against the word.
That's right.
You're sick. No. Well, you're running a fever. No. Well, I'll check. No, you won't check. I just told you. I had somebody bring out a sphygmomanometer. Is that what it's called?
What? A
blood pressure tester. They put it on my arm and they fainted. And their response to that test made me angry. And I jerked that thing off my arm and I said, don't you ever put that on my arm again. What, am I mad at them? No. I'm mad that I might be tempted to believe what they were believing. Isn't it amazing that a doctor says, well, your blood pressure should be. And it's becoming law. It becomes a law. And if I don't fit their little law, I'm condemned. And yet we won't believe the Word of God. I told Karen last night, I said, you know where the men are 70% wrong. That's the national average. She said, you mean a doctor? They're not going to keep an average on themselves. But that's probably right. Why are they 70% wrong? Because they care more about their money and their reputation than they do me.
That's right.
That's not doctors. That's lawyers. That's a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So who do I trust?
God.
Luke 7:50. We can do this all day, but I won't go all day. Promise you. But I'm the third or fourth preacher up, so I got to turn too. Luke 7:50, and he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. What's the last part? So what is an evidence of salvation? Peace. It passes, by the way, this is the important thing. It passes understanding. It's pretty easy to look at somebody when they're asleep and say, well, that's peaceful. Oh, I understand that. We're not there yet. When she saw something in me she'd never seen before, the one thing she saw was peace. Because she'd seen it before. I was having a little argument with a guy one day there. And I'd ask him, I'd told him how it was. Don't ask people how it is. Tell them how it is. Don't be mad. Don't be angry. And don't just. And he got mad. Oh, strange thing. And he walked up to me. And he's taller than I am. And he said, you know what? I'm going to start touching my face. You know what I'm going to do to you? I'm going to wipe you, this whole town up with you. And I smiled at him. I said, thank you. He backed up. He backed up at thank you. What do you mean thank you? I said, you just assaulted me. If you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm going to have you arrested. Now, you can't do that unless you already know you're a winner. You can't keep your calm. You want to slug. And if your reaction is slug, you're not saved yet.
That's right.
Not where you ought to be anyway. I'm not saying you're going to go to hell. Salvation is a lot more than not going to hell. We just gave you some definitions. Are you going to go to hell if you fight? I'm not the judge. Good night. I don't know, but I don't trust you. And I don't feel safe around you. Is that okay? That man that wanted to touch my face, he wanted to do a lot more than that, but the Holy Spirit wasn't going to let him. And he's going to set me straight by touching my face. This is the way the world thinks. Okay. You know what? He won't touch my face anymore because he knew I was right. I could have him put in jail. How did they get saved? Well, I thought it was Jesus. It is. You have to have faith in Jesus. Your faith is not, I can save me. Your faith is, Jesus has saved me. I believe that.
Amen.
Well, you don't act like you feel it yet. Well, where in there does feelings involve? I'm saved. You know how you stay at peace? You know why you can have peace in the midst of a storm, whatever the storm is? You're not afraid of dying.
Yes.
Why? Because you've already died.
That's right.
What'd you die to? Every feeling that I'm supposed to have. You know how you love? You know love. Because his name is love. You know him. He'll teach you how.
Yeah.
It makes you safe to other people. Because they can actually feel the love even though you really don't talk like a lover. You know how you become a good husband? You first become a good wife too. Jesus.
That's right.
I'm talking to you men now.
That's right.
You learn how to submit so that they learn. You know what women are looking for? Jesus. They just want a man that looks like Jesus. They want a man, not a wimp, that looks like Jesus.
Right.
God says, I hate the effeminate. Do you know the scripture says that? I hate the effeminate. Does that mean he hates women? No. He hates soft men.
Right.
You know what the world is plagued with right now? Soft men. They want to talk more feminine than a woman does.
You want to get in touch with her feminine
self. You know how to be gay? You talk more feminine than a woman does.
Right.
What a stupid, stupid thing. You know how to see light? You know one of the most interesting stories in the world is the plagues. The plagues that came on those that were holding the children of Israel. Well, remember the plague of darkness? It wasn't on the children. It was on the whole country, the Bible says. But the children of God had light.
Amen.
Now, there's other teachings in the Bible, but the whole moral of that story is you cannot see light if you're not saved. You don't have understanding. I wrote a little statement down here to begin with. I should have read it. I'm going to read it now about this darkness. We talk to the unsaved like they understand what we're talking about. And it's impossible. The Bible teaches you it's impossible for them to understand why you believe like you do. So you could talk to you were blue and they were dead. And they won't understand you. Who does the wooing? So you just show up and do dumb things. And the Holy Spirit will take care of the rest.
Amen.
He does the drawing.
Amen.
And you're going to wonder when you leave there, how did that happen? I should have said, I should have said, I shouldn't have said, I should. Just shut up. Let the Holy Spirit take care of it. And don't be surprised, please, when the world does not understand truth. We got a president right now that will actually say on television, the way we get out of debt is to spend more money. He's not saved. He thinks that to be true. Don't be mad at him because he's dumb. Be mad at him because he's not saved. He might get smart if he was saved. That's why you're supposed to pray for them. Pray to make them smart? No, pray to get them saved.
Yes.
Luke 8:50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. He's talking to somebody that's facing death for one of their loved ones. And he's saying, fear not. Does that make any sense to you? Only believe. So what he's saying is, the fact that you're afraid is what's nonsensical. Get back to your belief system. What do you believe? You want them, let me say it another way. If you want, remember I said people need to be safe around you? If you want those around you to be safe, you got to believe. You can't react to what you see. You have to react to what you know. When my mom died in my house up here in Indiana, what is the natural reaction of somebody that just dies? You've gone through search rescue. You've gone through all these courses. What is your natural reaction? Huh? Try to bring them back. CPR, right? But there was a word. She had laid the word out. I do not want to be resuscitated. Now, this may not... Just listen. I had to make a decision based on a word, or what I believe to be the truth. And the hardest thing in the world is to look there and see your mom, all pink, pretty, and you don't try to bring her back. Because she said no. Stop using your feelings. Stop using what you think is right, and do what is right. And you know you'll be saved. You begin to know you're saved. You don't just have to believe it. You know, if you stop doing what you feel like doing and do what's right, you'll begin to understand that you are saved. You know, I don't know if I can say this to you, but I'm going to. God's a good teacher. You know why he's a good teacher? He talks to you in the way you can understand. We were going to church, fighting some battles on the way, and she brought up a scripture that said, there are many sick and weak among you die prematurely because you don't rightly discern the body of Christ, right? Now, if you want to study, study that. That you can save people's lives by recognizing the body of Christ. And God started speaking to me. He got my attention real good. This made me think further. He said, you know what my biggest problem in the body of Christ is? I said, what's that? He said, an ass that's trying to be a head because everything that comes out of their mouth is crap. Now, you didn't think God talks that way, but he does. He invented all of it.
That's right.
Rightly discern. If you want to be safe, you can't sit under crap.
That's right.
I don't care what they think they are. Pastor, apostle, prophet, I don't care. If crap's coming out, find another place to listen.
Amen.
Rightly discern the body of Christ. Teaching will be based on the word or it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Your belief system has to be based on the cross. Has to be based on the cross, what Jesus did. Not on that thing. Because anybody can build on a cross. It's what Jesus accomplished with his birth, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And everything in between. And if you can't believe that what he said happened, it's what you said this morning. You're lost without hope. I don't mean to be mean, but you're lost without hope. There is no... I had a kinfolk of mine one time saying, you know what your problem is? No, but I'm sure you're going to tell me. Everything to you is black and white. Yes. Yes, there is no gray matter. No, either it's true or it's not true.
Right.
What you did, what you just did, was right or it's wrong. You came to church this morning, didn't you? Is that right? Did you do right? Do you know God will honor right and reward right? And I don't care what excuse you use to stay home. Let me ask you something. Did Jesus go to church? Why? He didn't need to get saved. Why would Jesus go to church more than you all? Huh? It must have been about what he had that they needed.
Yes.
Why do you go to church? Are you coming to see what you can get or what you can give? For God so loved the world that he gave.
That's right.
So do you love the world?
Yep.
Then you'll give yourself to this church or to a church. You'll give yourself to a sinner. You will give of yourself. But you will not be persuaded. You'll be that rock. You'll be that tree that's planted. Can't be moved. You'll be that person. Y'all tired listening to me? Mm-hmm. Silence is consent. We're going to stop now. But I'm not through. I don't know. I was timid this morning because I'm not too sure how you would take what I needed to say. So I tried to be as gentle as I can. It may get rougher. I want our salvation to be sure. I want everybody in this room to know that beyond a shadow of doubt,
yes.
If the next second you got your last breath, you know where you're going.
Yes.
And if somebody walked up and said, this second is my last breath, what do I need to do? You can tell them.
Amen.
Those two things need to be foremost in our life. And you don't have to be a good preacher. Won't have to. It's not up to you. It's not up to your works. It's up to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's doing in and through you right now. And I think the Holy Spirit wants you to be sure of your salvation. Not sure if you're saved. Sure of your salvation. Did you all get the difference? Saved is when somebody throws a life ring out. You're on a boat. They're in the water. They give you a life ring. Now you're saved. But you're not safe. You're not safe yet. You're not on the boat. You're not on dry land. We got places to go and things to do. And part of that is that we have to go from being saved to being safe.
Yes.
From being saved, because I'm selfish, to being safe and you're safe around me. You're welcome in this church because you're safe. It's a safe place. Remember the song that Jean wrote?
Mm-hmm.
When she came, and you were kind of a basket case when you came. And it wasn't too long you wrote that song. Remember what it was? Sanctuary here. Now, we've been gone a little while. Is this still a sanctuary for people that are in trouble?
Yeah.
You need to know that. You need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the things that Jesus did, you'll do also even more.
Mm-hmm.
Read about him. And you'll find out that most of the time when he walked up to somebody, he healed them before he saved them.
That's right.
That's how healing, how important it is to Jesus. Well, I don't feel healthy. Are you healed? Well, you don't look healed. Am I healed?
Yes.
Why? I ask Karen, how do you know you're saved? How do you get saved? I don't hear any answers. She had many answers and came up with one, which is the real one. You ain't saved by doing good works in the church.
That's right.
Even though it's a good thing. You're not saved by doing good works in your community. It won't work. Turns to law, law kills. You're saved by what Jesus did. No, you believing in what Jesus did. You must believe in what he did. Put up Isaiah 53:5 again. Please, sir. Did he do this? This was a prophecy about what he was going to do. But since Jesus has no calendar and no clock, when he said it, it was already done. Now, the actions hadn't been completed, but it was sure. We know now by the New Testament that he did. He fulfilled this very thing. Did he?
Amen.
Did he come out of this so torn up that he didn't look like a man?
That's right.
Do you understand what I just said? The scripture says that they beat him so bad, they pulled his beard out, they treated him so badly that he didn't even look like a man. So the easy part of the salvation process for him was going to the cross because this torture was already over. And he did this because he loved you. And he wanted you to live in health and strength.
Amen.
This is a get-rich-quick thief? No. This is, you better believe this or you're going to go to hell. Did I say the only way to please God? I didn't say it. The Bible did. It was by faith.
Right.
Didn't we read scripture that said that you only be saved is by faith? Well, it better start right here. You want to be a minister of God? Then you tell a dirty, rotten sinner, it's okay. You tell the sickliest person in the world that you're healed. It hasn't become real clear and real to me until now. Let's call it now. Where years ago, Ron Green came to me and he said, so-and-so is sick. Let's go pray for her. Sure. Man, that's great. I'm going. Three of us, I don't remember the other ways, but three of us went over there. This lady had already been healed many times of cancer, but it kept coming back. Go to the doctor, it's gone, but it would come back. I don't understand all that. But when I walked into the house, the Holy Spirit tells you things. Don't let anybody tell you that he doesn't. The Holy Spirit said to me, she's dead. Okay, she's dead. What do you do? Listen to me carefully. What do you do if you're there to pray for somebody and God tells you it's not going to work? I'm taking them. What do you do? What have we just studied this morning is the answer to heaven? Faith. So what's your job? Minister faith. Not minister outcome, minister faith. When I stand before God, I want him to say, well done, referring to faith. Well, you died believing. I'm going to die of something. Let it be faith.
Amen.
I want to please the Father.
Yes.
I don't care about where I live or die. I want to please the Father. I wrestle with this. I left that room after ministering mightily in faith. God, what did I just do? He said, you did what I wanted you to do. You taught faith. You better. This is Jesus' finger pointing to you. You better minister faith. Our temptation is to gossip, to repeat what somebody else said, like the newsman, to talk about bad things, but you better minister faith or you won't please God. We had another guy call me in the middle of, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And this was Ron Green's wife. It was about her. She was in the hospital. And like we always do, if we get a call like that, we both wake up, set up in bed, and we pray. Before we go, we'll pray. And I started to pray, and I heard, never mind. Oh, you know what that means? God has made a decision. Do I trust him? And I told her. And that was her good friend of my wife's. Now, she didn't want to hear that. But it was a setup. We went down to that hospital room, and she had unforgiveness in her heart. She wasn't going to make it to heaven. You can't make it to heaven with unforgiveness. And we looked at the meter, and the heartbeat was nearly gone. The blood pressure was nearly gone. And my wife leaned over her ear and started quoting scripture. And the machine changed. As she quoted scripture, the machine came back to normal. Oh, that's amazing. No, that's normal. That's the way it's supposed to be. She came back from near death, right there where we were talking. She came back. She went around the room. And anybody that knows the story knows about the husband and his infidelity. And she knew it. And she went around the room to people that had been her enemies and things. She told everybody how great they were. She told her husband, she said, you're the best husband on the face of the earth. Even though the reason she was dying because her husband was unfaithful. That's what the doctor said. He said, sometimes people need a reason to live. She spoke to everybody in that room, and she died. Within an hour, she was dead. But she got it cleared up. You know how? Because we didn't take never mind as a discouragement.
Yes.
We still had a ministry to do. You got one? Are you going to get turned off every time God says something you don't like? I remember one of those two, and I can't remember which one. I was upset because my faith didn't cause her to be healed. Well, where does it say that my faith is going to cause anybody to be healed? To please God, I have to operate in faith.
Yes.
To be saved, I have to operate in faith. Right? And I said to God, God, why did you do this? I was believing for a healing. He responded back to me this. He said, if I would have asked you when I could take her, what would you have said? I said, never. He said, that's why I don't ask you. Unless I become as a little child, I will never understand. God knows better than I do.
Yes.
Trust him. Do you trust him that he knows better than you do? And if I were to die tomorrow, are you going to trust him that he knows better than you do?
Amen.
If what you're believing for doesn't come about, are you going to trust him? That's the only way you're going to be truly saved. You're going to trust him that he knows better than you? Well, it didn't turn out like I wanted. Well, why don't you just drop I wanted and trust him? It'll work. It's the only thing that will work.
Right.
But here's what it's going to take. It's going to get your stand of faith, your understanding of what's right and wrong and acceptable. My daughter, who will be here Wednesday, was going through a bad time in her life, totally against everything that we believed. We had done everything we knew to do, and we were still standing. But there was one thing more that God reminded me. Turn her over to Satan. Do you know how hard it is to turn one of your kids over to Satan? Hard, right? Let's just say it's the hardest thing anybody can do, unless you trust God. See, he has a plan. He don't have to tell you the plan. He has a plan. So we turned her over to Satan because the Word told us to. We didn't have to understand it. We didn't have to feel good about it. And I promise you, it must have been a week, about a week, everything turned around. You'll meet her. You'll understand when I say everything is turned around. My obedience. I'm going to put the load on you Christians. My obedience saved her. There was some kind of block there. There wasn't going to be anything happen unless I obeyed. Why? Because of the promises in the Bible that tells what authority I have over my children. But I had to do something totally what I felt like was anti-Christ to get it to happen. Don't go by feelings. Go by faith. Don't believe your children are Christians because they say so. I've given you ways to know. And I can tell you this right now. If they don't go to church, they're not saved. If they go to the wrong church, they're not saved. Not my choice. That's God. They will go to church where they can exhibit salvation. Outside of church, they will exhibit salvation. God will be the most important thing in their life. Nothing more important than God. Do you hear me? Nothing's more important than God. Not your job, not anything. If your boss tells you you got to work on Sunday, tell him okay and trust God to say no. You're going to believe God to get you out of that situation. Or tell him no. Depends on how strong your faith is. Tell him no. I got other ways. Because I'm not mean, I'm going to ask you if all hearts are clear this morning. Is God and His Word the most important thing?
Yes.
Not once again, one time ago when I got saved, but today?
Yes.
Will you do what He tells you to do? Will you look at your children or your grandchildren or those that you love and say, you're not saved? I worry about you. Who does that apply to? One of the battles we're fighting right now is it applies to my pastor. He's not saved. He's not saved. How do you know that, Stan? I don't see it. I mean, I'm not the judge, but he's on his fourth wife. So there's constant turmoil in his life. He's lost two children. He wants to teach New Age psychology, Antichrist. Well, New Age psychology make you feel good. And that's what most people are looking for. He's isolated. He doesn't want to have fellowship with anybody. And yet it's a command of God called communion, that you actually eat with people. You fellowship with them. You give of yourself. He's got his money. He's got plenty of money. Got his own airplane. Flies all over. But he's not satisfied. So there's no peace there. Do you understand? I'm telling you this, so I want you to check yourself. What? Are you at a peaceful place now? Or is the peaceful place coming? If it's not now, you're not saved. I'm at peace. Are you? I'm going to tell you that I'm speaking this to what I consider the best group of people in the world. And I'm preaching this kind of a message to you. Because I care more about you than probably you do. That's the way Jesus is. Jesus cares about you more than you care. So I must be like Him. I must care about you more than I care about myself. You have one of the best piano players there is. I'm telling you, you do. This presentation this morning, very professional. People care. This is a tremendous church. Don't let it slide backwards into religion. Don't let it slide backwards into us four no more.
Amen.
I enjoy you, but I really don't enjoy anybody else. Don't do that. Look for people. They need you. They need you. And if you don't need them to minister to, you're not saved. The very Spirit of God is going to cause you to want other people to get saved. To be as safe as I am right now. While He's teaching you how to be safer.
Amen.
I'll leave this with you, and I'll leave it to God, the Holy Spirit, to minister to you in your quiet times. I hope it becomes loud for you. I hope you've gotten something out of this morning. I appreciate your time.
Amen.
We will be here a little while longer, maybe a couple of weeks or so. I don't know. We enjoy ministering to you because it helps us. Thank you. All hearts clear now. I'm ready for you to say, raise your hand. All hearts clear? Because we'd stop everything to make sure it is. Father, we thank you above all things for Jesus. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for a hunger to understand how big a God He is. We thank you that healing is, not was, and not will be, but is. I'm healed. Doesn't make any difference how I feel. I'm healed. Let everybody in here establish that in their life, because the devil would love to have you be. If you're going to be a Christian, be a sick one. Then you can't witness to anybody. Let the love of our lives be you, the reason we breathe. Let the breath that we take be you. Let the word be the law in our lives and nothing else. Send those people in from the north, south, east, and west that need help, and we will constantly, continually, above all things, give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, says amen.
Amen.
Be blessed.